we saw it at Downtown Disney, and what I remember about that film was that I had heard that it was the first movie by a place called Pixar, but no one had ever heard of Pixar. But the thing that I remember is that they said it was animated by computers. And if you had seen, as I have seen, what a computer looked like in 1995, that gave me no confidence at all. Can you advance that slide, please? There we go. That gave me no confidence at all that it was going to be great. In fact, I thought, like, I can't even play a movie on my computer in 95 because there wasn't enough storage. Like, I can't imagine that a computer could actually make a movie. And I had no idea. And it literally, it just revolutionized movie making. I mean, I think looking back, we don't realize, like, sort of how much this changed the way we made movies. And maybe you haven't thought about this, but this actually has a tie-in to Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was the CEO. He's there in the center, the guy who's responsible probably for your iPhone and also for the fact that you pay $286 a month for something you didn't even have 20 years ago. But Steve Jobs was the CEO. He's credited with making the deal with Disney that brought the influx of capital, which allowed a story, which like Toy Story, which was super expensive at the time to be made. On his left there is Ed Catmull. He was the director of technology, and he's the one who is credited with coming up with sort of the process that we now just think that's how movies are made. Most of what we think of CGI was sort of invented and put into practice back then. And then we also have the creative director, John Lasseter, who was responsible for the story. So these three guys that you see on the screen that have found their way into many other areas of our lives were part of, and a big part of, creating this Toy Story that changed movie making forever. But it didn't just change movie making. It was just groundbreaking in the fact, think of this, before Toy Story, there were cartoons and animated movies, but they were sort of like moving pictures, literally, like they, you could tell that they were drawn. In fact, if we're going to do Lion King as our movie in a couple weeks, that's the last one of this series, and Lion King's in the theater now, and it's funny, the one thing I've heard, I haven't seen it yet, is people go, it's so much more realistic. It's like, it's still talking animals on a screen. But the reason why we say it is more realistic is because we're so used to this computer animated reality that is quite real. I mean, in the past, before Toy Story, you would have sort of moving pictures animation. You had claymation, you know, all Wallace and Gromit and Mr. Billy looking stuff that was, and you know, but then you could also have actors portraying things. But this was the first time that we could sort of enter into a world of imagination, and there were toys that were living and breathing and three-dimensional and had voices and attitude, and you could see their personality. I mean, I don't know that we even realize like how much this story, this Toy Story, changed our world today as far as entertainment. Now, we did learn some things, and I'm glad the kids are in here because you kids can help me out. What did we learn from Toy Story? Like, What do toys do when humans aren't in the room? What do we know about that? Can anybody help me? They come alive, right? They move around. Like, we didn't know that before. We never knew that when we're not in the room, they're actually playing games. I love Woody playing checkers. You know, it's like they're playing games, they're dating apparently. I mean, Bo Peep, and they're getting married, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. They're doing all sorts of things that we never thought they were doing. I mean, we suspected it as kids, didn't we? Like, as kids, we sort of knew that when you came back in your room, things were moved around and maybe the toys were alive. And I swear I had a stuffed monkey named Bimbo. Don't go into that. It was the 80s. Like, I swear that thing was alive. Terrifying, but loved that monkey. But like, we didn't know until we saw Toy Story. So there's sort of a thing that we learned was that toys are alive. And when we aren't in the room, they have a whole life. And what did we learn? That what happens when adults or people enter the room, right? they stop, they freeze, and there's another rule in Toy Story, I don't know if you realize this, they have to kind of, the reason why they're always rushing around is one of the rules that were written for them by the writers of Toy Story is that they have to try to go back to their position that they were in, so that makes for a lot of scurrying around, and if they can't get in their position, you notice how Woody just sort of lays over and plays dead, they have to look like they were thrown there or they fell off something, so they have to give the impression that they're back in the same position, so that added sort of that rule or that thing that we learned sort of added like the intensity of Toy Story where they're running around and trying to get back in, and we also learned another thing. We learned what toys are afraid of, right? Like, we never knew this before Toy Story. What are toys afraid of? They're afraid of dogs and toddlers and that weird kid next door, right? Like, we didn't know that, but now we know that. And thanks to Toy Story, I swear I have like a shed full of toys because we can't throw anything away because we're like, maybe they know, like they feel it. Like maybe those Zuzu pets from the 90s are gonna know if we throw them away, or early 2000s, I guess. So we learned a lot of things from Toy Story, but one thing that was interesting to me is I was kind of like digging into the story of how this story was written, is that it didn't work very well at first. There were so many rewrites, and that's one reason why people didn't really have high hopes, even though this became the biggest grossing movie of Disney's history at that point. People didn't have high hopes because it had been rewritten so many times. Like they tried different treatments of this film over and over, and they couldn't get sort of the right feeling. It didn't work. It was either one version of it was sort of dark and the toys were a little scary, and they couldn't really get people, like when they would test the storyline, it just didn't grab people until they did one small change, and I thought this was interesting. They changed the motivation. Somewhere late in the writing, they realized, like, we don't have a motivation for these toys. Why would they do what they do? And when they decided, and this became like a rule, and you'll see this throughout all the Toy Stories from then on, what brought the toys to life, what brought Woody to life, what brought all of the different, from a potato head to a talking etch-a-sketch or an etch-a-sketch, what brought them to life is when they decided that the primary motivation of toys is that they love the children who own them, and their whole desire is to be played with by the children who own them. And when they did that, this story came alive, and the toys came alive, and we realized that's the primary motivation of Toy Story through all the versions except for Buzz Lightyear, right? Because Buzz Lightyear comes along, and I had to rewatch it because they all sort of run together for me. Like, in fact, I had trouble finding art for this because I kept wanting to put stuff from the other movies. They all run together. But rewatching the original one and remembering, like, oh, Buzz came along and just messed up everything. And the number one reason why he messed everything up, right, is because he doesn't know he's a toy. Like, everybody else knows they're a toy. Everybody else knows they belong to Andy. Everybody else knows that, like, their primary motivation in life is to be loved and played with by Andy. And all of a sudden, this new toy comes along, and he thinks he's a space ranger, right? Like, and it just drives Woody crazy. And another thing that's wrong with Buzz, the thing that just annoys Woody to death about Buzz is that, right, he thinks so highly of his abilities, right? He's got the laser. It's not a blinky light to him. It's like he's certain, you know, stand back, don't get in the way of this. He has a laser. He has a spaceship. He's certain, as we saw in the clip, like he can fly. And it just drives Woody crazy. But the problem, another big, big problem with Buzz Lightyear is that he's just so much cooler than Woody, right? Like, that just drives Woody crazy because he comes on the scene and everyone is so, so impressed with him. Like, Woody's been there. Woody's the freaking sheriff of Andy's room, you know? He's in charge. He's run the show for many years, and he loves Andy, and Andy loves him, and he's the number one toy. And then this guy comes along who's just sort of, like, deluded and thinks that he's real and thinks he's a space ranger and thinks that he has a laser and thinks he can fly, but he's just so much cooler. I mean, everybody loves Buzz, and they sort of, like, whew, they look down on Woody, and Another thing that's pretty obvious about Buzz, right? He doesn't even know when he's in danger. I mean, I love that. I wish we could just show so much more. There's just not time in the 35 minutes we have. Which is funny because through the years, people go, how do you do at the movies? How do you watch the whole movie in 35 minutes? I'm like, on fast forward? I mean, obviously we don't do that, but it's funny. Everybody thinks we would see the whole movie, but I wish we could show, almost wish we could show that middle part, if you remember it, where they get lost and they're at the gas station and they have to ride in the pizza delivery truck back to Pizza Planet. And during that whole episode, all the way till they go into Sid's room with the cannibal animals, as we'll see later, Woody is just clueless to the danger he's in. Or not Woody, but Buzz. Buzz is just clueless that he's in danger. Buzz thinks he's a space ranger. Buzz thinks he's invincible. Buzz thinks nothing's going to hurt him. And Woody's just always trying to, you know, save him from himself. And as I was watching the film, though, and thinking about it and sort of looking back over the story, I realized that the biggest problem with Buzz, and sort of the biggest problem that Woody has, is that Andy is crazy about Buzz, right? Andy loves Buzz Lightyear. Andy loves playing with Buzz Lightyear, and he loves Woody, and he loves all of his toys, and Andy's a great kid, but my goodness, it drives him crazy that for some reason, Andy just loves this deluded toy who doesn't know he's a toy. He doesn't even know he belongs to Andy. He thinks he's a space ranger. He thinks he has a laser. He thinks he's on a mission, and he thinks he controls everything, and yet Andy is crazy about him. And so I think that's very helpful to us as Christians, and kind of why we do at the movies. Because these movies, even what you would call a kid's movie, even though it's not a kid's movie, it's a pretty sophisticated story, and it's a story that, you know, you can watch as an adult, at least I can at my age, but I'm younger than you, of course. But like, you can look at it, and it's captivating, but the reason why I think we do this is because that story is helpful to us. Because as Christians, we have this thing that Jesus said. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And then he puts like a really sort of heavy ending to that. So go into the world, preach the good news. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And Jesus wasn't talking about some sort of, we've turned saved into sort of like a spiritual fuzzy thing that happens in our heart, and Jesus comes into our heart. Not a bad way to look at it, but when Jesus said saved, he meant saved just in the same way that Woody meant saved when he's going to try to save Buzz from being killed by Sid, from being blown up with a rocket, like saved from destruction. And then he says anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And so, I mean, that's a pretty heavy responsibility, isn't it? And when you read that part that says, go and tell the good news to everyone, the best way I can explain it, and I'm so glad we got to use Toy Story as a movie that we could remember, and I think everybody knows it. If not, go watch it. But you could see even from the clip. Here's what the good news means to a Christian. It basically means the same thing it means in Toy Story. Like, Andy loves you. That's what Woody would say to Buzz later. He would say, Andy loves you. He's crazy about you. He wants you to be part of his world. He wants to interact with you. And that is the message we have as Christians. That's the good news that we have, that there's a God who created not just you and not just me, but everybody and everything. And he loves you. Like Andy loves his toys, like he wants to interact with you. He's not some distant creator who sort of set this whole thing, and we think about God that way sometimes, like sort of set this thing in motion, and it's some sort of test, or it's some sort of like game. You know, it's like he's watching Survivor from heaven, kind of just looking down on us going, hey, wonder how that's going to turn. Not at all. The story that Jesus told and the story that the Bible tells is just like Woody saying to Buzz, Andy loves you. He's crazy about you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to interact with you. In fact, Andy wanted you here so that you could play together, and that's what we have from Scripture when it comes to God's love for us. But I was thinking about this week a lot. Like, you know what the problem with us? We sort of have the same problems that Buzz had. Like all of us, we go through life, and if you're a follower of Jesus today, at least you can remember back to this point where you really didn't know. You didn't believe by definition, and you didn't know that you were God's. You didn't know you were God's child and you were created by him and you were destined from the very beginning to interact and be loved by, and sort of in the same way Andy wants to play with his toys, God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to interact with you and be involved in your life. And just like Buzz, like so many of us just don't know that. We think like Buzz is sure he's a space ranger, even though he belongs to Andy. We just don't know at all that we belong to God. We think we're our own man or our own woman, and we sort of go through life like Buzz. And I was thinking about this, like, I think as humans, at least to God, I think God probably thinks of us many times, like, he's like Andy and he loves us so much, but he has to look at us and go, oh, that's just adorable how much you think you can do. You know, kind of like when I look at Buzz and he's got that fake laser and he's like, stand back, you know? And I think God, you know, it's like sometimes we think, oh, when we sin, God is mad at us. You know, or when we sin, like, God just can't wait to punish us. My guess is more that God looks at us and goes, oh, that's so silly and kind of cute, but don't, you can't do that. Like, oh, you think that you decide what's wrong and right by voting on it? Oh, that was decided long before you were born. There's a law of nature that you think you can decide what gender you are, what your sexual, oh, good for you. That's not going to work. I'm sorry. It's and we think, oh, we can decide like how society will run, and we can decide what's wrong and right, and we can decide, you know, we can change the weather. We're so proud as humans, and oh, we can create life because, you know, we can clone something, or we understand life because we can look at DNA now. And God in heaven, I think, is looking at us sort of like Woody's looking at Buzz in a little bit, only a lot more loving, going, oh, that's sort of adorable. You know, we think we can create life because we can clone and we can move DNA around, but it's sort of like a kid who thinks he's a great designer, and we all have kids that can do this. Like, they build amazing things with Legos, and God's going, yeah, but who made the Legos? And so that's the way we live as humans, man. We think we are in control of so much, and we think way, way, way too highly. I think the psalmist said it best. He said, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? And here's a truth about us. And I think it's so much like Toy Story that I think the story is very helpful. Rebellion is always cooler than obedience, right? Like, you're never going to see, hey, here's a movie about our rule keeper who follows the, you know, there's not going to be a cop show about a cop who completely follows the rules. Tune in tonight for Chicago. It's not going to happen. Because it seems like, you know, like you look at Woody and it seems kind of like, oh, Woody, you're so boring. Woody, and everybody thinks Buzz is great and Woody's old fashioned, and I get that, and we'll talk about Woody's problem here in a little bit. But that's the way life is, right? We sort of have the same problems of Toy Story. Like, it seems so much more attractive just inside of our human DNA to rebel against God's law, to rebel against the Creator, to rebel against a plan for your life than to actually follow it and actually be obedient to it. And here's a final thing that I was like, oh, wow, we're just like Toy Story, right? As we go through life, We don't even know when we're in danger, do we? Parents, you know this. It's funny, you can see it in your kids. Speaking of kids being here, like you can tell when your kids are heading for danger, no matter what age they are. But for some reason, as humans, we can't tell it when we're in danger, right? We walk through life sort of like Buzz. We walk through life going, oh, I got this. Sure, I'm breaking all of God's law. Sure, I'm doing some things that, oh, somebody would say was wrong. I don't believe that. But just like Buzz, we walk through life and we do all of these things and we sin and we think, oh, we're just fine. We don't even realize that we're in danger until sort of the hammer falls. And then we're always surprised by the consequences of our sin. But having said all that, I realized too this week, I was thinking about, and I go, oh, you know the problem with us? The problem with us is that God is still crazy about us. Right? Like, just like so much of Toy Story is the fact that Andy is so sad when Woody is lost and when Buzz is lost. Like, he's heartbroken when they're away from him. Even though they brought it on themselves, and even though Woody sort of pushed Buzz out of the window, and even though Buzz won't listen, and even though Buzz doesn't believe he belongs to Andy, and even though Buzz gets himself in the situation at Sid's house, and all of those things can be true, but Andy is crazy about Buzz and Woody. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God feels the same way about you and I when we're far away from him. So as Christians, if you're a follower of Christ today, we have to ask ourselves, like, how do we get to this point? How do we get to that moment in the movie where Buzz finally realizes, like, oh, I am a toy, and I do belong to Andy. And it's interesting because in that, if you want to call it, and I will, a conversion experience, like, everything changes. Not just in this movie, but in all the upcoming movies. Buzz becomes so much more than the crazy toy. We kind of forget that he was the crazy toy who thought he was a space ranger. But if you're here this morning, you kind of fall into one of two categories, I think. We're not Andy, we're not God. So we're sort of either Sheriff Woody or we're Buzz. Like this morning, you're really either, if you think about it, you're either Buzz and you're, at least by my estimation and by what I will tell you from Scripture and what I believe, would be you would be Buzz and you don't know you belong to God and you're far away from God and you're going, well, that's not true. Well, Woody, even Buzz didn't think that either. So you're Buzz and you can relate to, like, you are far away from God. And maybe you're still certain that you have great ability and you control everything and you haven't found out yet you're not in control like Buzz did. Or you're Sheriff Woody. Like, I relate to Sheriff Woody because sometimes I just get annoyed and go, well, why don't they know that they're toys? Why don't they know that that's not going to work? And but there's a great moment, and if I could show the whole movie, I would, because there's a moment where Woody himself, he's at the gas station, and he falls on his knees. You know, it's like he's going, I love Andy, and I'm in charge, and I'm the sheriff of Andy's bedroom, and he's certain that he's the best toy, but he falls on his knees at a gas station and goes, I am lost. I am a lost toy. And I honestly don't know what makes filmmakers write scenes like that. Because it is the most perfect picture of what it is to turn from yourself and admit that you are lost and become a follower of Jesus and go, I am his. And I think about that a lot. Like, how do these movies happen? Like, I don't know if they're sort of inspired, you know, and some part of me thinks, like, there's some inspiration that comes into these stories where they're just perfectly from what Jesus said, but probably more truthfully than that. I think there are just stories that are sort of baked into our psyche because of our Creator. There are stories that even when they're not true, they're just true, right? The story, this redemption story that we see in Toy Story is just true. And here's why I'm so happy that we can do this. Because I could try to explain that to you, and I have, I guess, in the last few minutes. And to the best of my ability, I really want to. I want to explain, like, and I hope you can think about this even in this upcoming week. Am I Woody? Am I, you know, I know I'm loved by Andy and I know I'm loved by God, but man, sometimes I'm just annoyed by the people who aren't. Sometimes I'm like, how come they seem so free? And how come they seem like they're having so much more fun? And how come everybody thinks they're so much cooler than me? But man, they don't even know they're in danger. And so maybe there's a little Sheriff Woody in you. I feel it a lot of times. Or maybe you're Buzz and you're just like, man, I've been walking around here thinking I was in control. I've been walking around here thinking that I'm my own man or I'm my own woman. And man, I don't know if that's true. But here's the great thing about At the Movies, is I don't know if I can explain to you how we can get here. How Sheriff Woodies, who are followers of Christ, can lead someone who doesn't know they need Christ to him. And Jesus told us, but I don't know if I can explain what he said, but I want to show you because I think I can show you and then you and I will definitely get it. See, Jesus said these words, and I think you just witnessed him. He said, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment. Love each other." See, I don't know where you are in that story or this story. Maybe you're Buzz. Maybe you go, oh, I relate to Buzz. He's far away and he doesn't know, but man, I feel like I'm in control. I feel like I can do this. I get it. And let me say to you, like Woody said to Buzz, man, God loves you. You're amazing. Like, he wants you back so much. He can't wait to spend time with you. And maybe you're sort of Sheriff Woody and you're like, oh, I find myself just sort of being annoyed and not loving people the way I should because, man, they just seem like they don't understand what they're doing and this world's such a mess. Sometimes I just think, you notice what happened to Woody as he realized, like, man, we need each other, and he became Buzz's friend. And this is a relationship that goes on through years. There's one in the theater right now if you don't believe me. I don't know, here at Action Church, maybe you're one of the weird, mechanical, strange, messed up toys. I feel like that would be us at Action Church. It doesn't matter, like, we all have a part in this story, and that's what I love about this story. He said, I'm calling you to be my friends, and I'm calling you to be on this mission of saving Buzz Lightyear's with me, just like Woody did to the toys in that room. And he said, greater love. There's no greater love than laying down your life for someone else. And so I want Michael to come back up. And I want to pray with you. But I want to tell you something I heard this week in light of just a sad week of like mass shootings and just a nightmare of a world we live in. And it's so easy to be Sheriff Woody and kind of go, why do people do things like this? Or maybe be Buzz Lightyear and go, hey, I think I can fix it. I know. But the truth is, we're far away from Andy. We need each other. We're far away from God. And he's crazy about the people even who don't believe in him. And we should be too. I was talking to somebody about doing an active shooting training here at the church. Unfortunately, we are going to have to do it. It's been in plan for some time. In October, we're going to do that. So leadership and Sunday school teachers and anyone who's interested in that sort of thing, we can sort of have a plan. If God forbid some person who comes in who, you know, literally is willing to slaughter innocent people, But I was talking to the guy who leads those, and he trains at Quantico, and he trains cops, and he's done this service for big organizations like hospitals and schools. And he said, I hate this business, Don, and I don't even know that I want to continue it, but I will help you. But he said one word to me that I want to leave with you, or one sentence. He said, one thing I know, though, and the reason why I will do this, and when people ask, I will train them at least what to do in that horrible situation where someone comes in with a gun. He said, in talking to law enforcement officers, in talking to cops, and talking to FBI agents that I train, he said, I realize there's something worse than dying in a gunfight. And I was like trying to think, and he's my instructor, so I was just like, I don't know what that is, but I don't want to ask him. But I was glad he told me. He said, you know what's way worse than dying in a gunfight? And I said, no, sir, I don't. It sounds pretty bad. And he said, in talking to FBI agents and cops who've been through it, he said, the thing that's worse than dying is not being able to live with what you did in a situation like that. And I thought, man, I have to share that with the people of Action Church, because that's what we're talking about when Jesus said, this just happened this week in the middle of this planning, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. When Woody goes into Sid's room to save Buzz and becomes his friend and says, Andy's crazy about you, we have to get you back. It seems so scary. It seems like, how could I do that? How could I give up my life for people who don't love God and don't love me? Well, guess what? There's something way worse, which is not being able to live with the fact that people that we should love and we do love, are dying. They're depressed. They're hopeless. And we have the answer. So I want to pray with you. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for us. Thank you for doing that. That's the greatest love. And God, you could have asked each one of us to give up our lives, but you really didn't. But God, help us to be a friend to those who are far away from you. And God, I know there's Woodies and Buzzes and sort of mixed up cannibal animal toys in this room. We all fit into this story in different places. But God, deal with our hearts. Help us to love others as you love them. In your name we pray. Amen.